It's 7:43. I'm Teresa Wills. On this West Virginia morning, we'll bring you the latest on yesterday's primary election.
I thought with the proper precautions, coming out and voting in person was okay. And everything inside of the polling station was done really well and really safe, I thought.
We'll have that and more coming up. This is West Virginia Morning. I'm Teresa Wills. Tuesday's primary election was one for the history books. While the election results themselves are, of course, important, the coronavirus pandemic shifted so many parts of West Virginia's election process. Senior political reporter Dave Mistich is here in our studio to tell us more.
Good morning, Teresa.
Good morning. What races have been decided?
Well, of course, there was the nominations for president. President Trump won the Republican ticket here in West Virginia. Joe Biden for the Democrats. Of course, that race was of no surprise. Both of these nominations have been wrapped up. Governor Jim Justice will secure the Republican Party's nomination. He won big over opponents Woody Thrasher and Delegate Mike Folk, as well as four other candidates in that race. Justice spoke to supporters shortly after polls closed last night. And here's what he had to say.
We want to see how the outcome comes out tonight. We still got a long ways to go, and I know that. And absolutely all of us should feel that way as we're all grabbing the rope and running through this finish line together.
And on the Democrat side for governor, it looks like Ben Salango, a Kanawha County commissioner, as well as an attorney here in Charleston, is going to secure the nomination for that party. There were, of course, some big upsets in some state house races. Delegate Eric Porterfield, of course, folks will remember him as a divisive lawmaker that made some inflammatory comments about the LGBTQ+ community. He was came in fifth in a five-person race, which represents three seats in the 27th district in the House. There was also Senate President Mitch Carmichael, who was beat by a teacher in his district. I spoke to Senate President Carmichael last night, and here's what he had to say about his loss.
It's been a good run. We've made a lot of changes, but I was sort of the focal point for any opposition. And I became, as you watched some of the results and the legislative session, and there's always has to be like a boogeyman, I guess, and that became me, and that's fine because we don't run for these offices for our personal accolades. We run to make changes that we think are necessary for West Virginia, and I can sleep soundly at night knowing that I did everything I could to do that.
And of course, folks will remember that Senate President Mitch Carmichael drew the ire of teachers over the past couple of years. Teachers here in the state went on strike, and Carmichael pushed policies like charter schools, which teachers and their unions opposed. Some other races I want to run through here really quickly for you. The West Virginia Supreme Court of Appeals, there were three open seats on the 5-member bench of the state's high court. In Division I, Chief Justice Tim Armstead will retain his seat. In Division II, right now that race has yet to be called. Former State Senator Bill Wooten leads Circuit Judge Joanna Tabbitt by about 5,500 votes as of right now. In the race for the third division, John Hutchison, a justice that was appointed by Governor Jim Justice, will hold onto that seat. That term will last four more years. The other two seats in divisions one and two will last the full 12-year term. Another race that we're keeping a very close eye on is the Democratic nomination for the state attorney general. Sam Petsonk ahead of Delegate Isaac Spinagle by about 500 votes. So a lot of races out there to watch. And, if you go to our website, wvpublic.org, you'll be able to see all the results there.
Despite the push for absentee voting, some voters did come out, right?
That's right. Many county clerks that we spoke to said turnout was lower yesterday than in past presidential primary years. But not in all cases. Mercer County, for example, saw higher than expected turnout, and the use of absentee ballots far outstripped past years. And some voters told us that it was important to be there in person at the polls, like this voter in Dunbar in Kanawha County named Charlotte Moore.
One, the absentee means I didn't show up, and I wanted to show up. You know, I want to say the absentee ballot is fine for those who can't come out, but those who can come out need to come out and be seen.
Or Greg Boyce of Morgantown, who said he was going to take advantage of expanded absentee voting, but
honestly just was a little bit too lazy to take care of it, and I thought with the proper precautions, coming out and voting in person was okay, and everything inside of the polling station was done really well and really safe, I thought.
And then there were others like Wheeling resident Will Wallace, who was really happy with his opportunity to vote by expanded absentee ballot.
No, I've never voted absentee before, and it was an awesome experience. I signed up months ago, and it got about a month to vote. So I sat down, and when I had free time at work at my desk, I would pull it out, look at a thing that I had no idea who the candidates were. I Googled them. I looked them up on Facebook, whoever I could find information on them, and I made informed opinions on them, which was something I'd never had the ability to before.
Wallace said given the option, he would always choose absentee ballots. He also said he had no security concerns.
So obviously the coronavirus played a big role in this election. What were voters saying about the pandemic?
Right. Well, it sort of seemed to be a mixed bag. We heard from some voters who took the safety precautions very seriously. Others appreciated that poll workers did as well. Rodney Carter was up in the Northern Panhandle, and here's what he told us.
Now, some people are scared to death. You know, and then I saw the news last night. We have 5 new cases here in Ohio County. So it's not like it's going away. You know, you really have to be careful.
Others were less concerned about it. Well, most voters told us poll workers were decked out in masks, gloves, and there was hand sanitizer everywhere inside the polls. The amount of voters wearing masks while voting seemed to vary. And some voters, frankly, thought it was overblown.
Well, very good, Dave. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Black Lives Matter protests against racial injustice and police brutality started in large cities, but over the past week, these protests have now spread to smaller cities, towns, and rural communities in the Ohio Valley. Liam Nehemiah has more on why these smaller communities are coming together and in some cases facing a backlash.
Lives matter! Black lives matter!
From college towns, including Athens, Ohio, and Morgantown, West Virginia, to coal country towns like Hazard, Kentucky, smaller cities and rural communities are speaking up against hate and prejudice and calling for police accountability.
No justice! No peace! No righteousness! Police!
In Bowling Green, Kentucky, the city has seen consecutive days of protests drawing up to 1,000 people. Civil rights activist Charles Neblett is a black man who sang with the Freedom Singers in the 1960s to fight segregation. He spoke to protesters at the Warren County Justice Center.
When is it going to stop? I'm tired.
That's right.
That's right.
I'm tired. And some more people got to step up and do this thing.
Neblett was alive when Emmett Till was lynched in Mississippi. Yet many of the protests are driven by younger people, like 18-year-old Bree Carr in Harlan, Kentucky, who protested to be an ally for people of color.
Because prejudice here is just as old as our dialect for some people, and it's inherited, that there are so many other people behind them that support you and hear you and want to see you.
These protests in smaller towns have been overwhelmingly peaceful, but that hasn't stopped Carr and others from receiving threats. And in the West Kentucky college town of Murray, protesters marched down the main thoroughway of the city when things turned violent. A white man from a nearby city used pepper spray on protesters as he drove by, and another white man pointed a gun at the protesters. Both were arrested on charges, including assault and wanton endangerment. Protesters in Murray weren't just marching for Breonna Taylor and George Floyd. They also called for the removal of a statue of Robert E. Lee next to the Callaway County Courthouse. Statues and memorials dedicated to the Confederacy have recently come down in large cities, including Louisville. It remains to be seen if the same will happen in small towns like Murray. The outcry over Confederate memorials is part of a large theme of confronting the history and stigma of racism in some smaller towns.
But for all lives to matter, black lives got to matter.
Marshall County, Kentucky, whose population is nearly 98% white, had more than 100 on Friday marching around the courthouse square. It's where, only a few months ago, the county judge executive allowed a Confederate battle flag to fly before backlash forced its removal. 23-year-old Malik Humphreys, a black man from a neighboring county, says he was afraid to protest in Marshall County because of the county's racist reputation.
Like I said up there, I have a 6-year-old daughter, and I feel uncomfortable to come here. You understand that?
Yet he came anyway to join other Marshall County residents to start a larger conversation about racial injustice, police accountability, and loving one another.
We should feel comfortable to go anywhere we want to go. We should be allowed to go anywhere we want to go. It shouldn't matter if the majority is white or not, man. We should feel comfortable anywhere on this earth.
Humphreys says he hopes protests in small places like these will bring change at the local level. For the Ohio Valley Resource, I'm Liam Niemeyer.
State regulators have opened an investigation into a public water utility serving more than 600 households in Fayette County. The local county commission called for the removal of the water utility's volunteer board members. Both actions come after a year of failed negotiations between the utility and the company West Virginia American Water. This at the height of a global pandemic. Emily Allen reports.
More than 400 customers of the Page Kincaid Public Service District filed a petition last summer telling state regulators how bad their water is. One of them, Jessica Shockey, says the water has been dirty since she moved into Laurel Creek 2 years ago. The Public Service District serves her community.
As soon as you start turning the faucet on, it's either yellow, brown, or copper-like looking. And if you leave it in a like in a glass or a bottle for hours at a time, you come back to it and it's like it has particles of, it looks like rust.
But John David, one of the utility's board members, says to his knowledge, the water is clean.
If you were to come here right now, I could get a glass and pour you some water.
Here he is in Kincaid.
Hey, Marcus, can you go into the kitchen and pour a glass of water?
We talked over the phone while he was at work. His nonprofit gets water from Page Kincaid, but he doesn't actually live in the service district, a point of contention with the Fayette County Commission.
The water looks, you know, clean, it's clear, and in fact, as I told you, that's the way it's always looked at this place.
Last year, the Water Service District went to the West Virginia Public Service Commission to get approval from the state's topmost regulatory agency for a $3.5 million rehabilitation project. West Virginia American Water, a statewide company serving more than 500,000 West Virginians, intervened. They proposed an alternative solution. Maybe American Water could acquire the treatment plant or sell water to the utility wholesale. Page Kincaid agreed to withdraw requests for its own project, and the negotiations began. But then the plans fell through earlier this year. The timing couldn't have been worse. Customers like Shockey, who says the water has been dirty as long as she's had it, were left without clean running water when the coronavirus pandemic hit.
Yeah, some days you don't want to touch that water. It looks so nasty. Some days it's only yellow, and I will scrub my hands with soap and water, but I mean, you don't know what's in the water because you know there's something wrong with it.
West Virginia Rivers Coalition Director Angie Rossier, whose group advocates for access to clean drinking water, says this necessity only becomes more important in a public health crisis.
All of the important guidelines we're hearing about hygiene and hand washing, I mean, those concerns elevate even more so because if we don't have access to that safe water to keep up with hygiene and hand washing, we're not only just in trouble because the water may be harmful to us, but we're not able to protect ourselves like we should be able to against a virus like COVID-19.
West Virginia Public Service Commissioners have said the same. In an order on May 20th announcing their investigation, commissioners said it is, quote, imperative that the Page Kincaid Water District quickly improve its quality of water and service to customers. even as the local utility balks. Letting American Water take over might still be on the table. In March, the governor signed a bill allowing the Public Service Commission to force an acquisition if necessary. David, the board member, says the investigation now is a scheme to get American Water involved, and he maintains the water hasn't been bad for that long.
I'm personally very upset of being accused and slandered in that way, because we worked very hard to fix things and get things under control and to get monies together and all that sort of stuff.
Before replacing one of three filters last August, he said water problems were due to nearby coal mining. He says it was fine until the board had to declare a boil water advisory in May due to vandalism and theft. The Fayette County Commission disagrees. President Denise Scalf says this has been an issue for years at the fault of antiquated infrastructure and the fact that board members have been out of compliance. That's why local commissioners are filing a petition in circuit court to remove David and the other two board members.
Our role that we play as county commission is very minimal. The only thing that we can do is try to encourage, and we can try to encourage them to be compliant. I do think it's unfortunate that, you know, we have failing systems, and it's not just Fayette County, it's throughout the state and it's throughout the country. And some of those, and, you know, the infrastructure is, some of it's just old and antiquated.
Paige Kincaid has to deliver required information on its sewer system to American Water by Wednesday, June 10th. A status conference will occur in Charleston on July 16th. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Emily Allen.
West Virginia Morning is a production of West Virginia Public Broadcasting, which is solely responsible for its content.